For God so loved the world,
come on,
that he gave his only son, and whosoever believes will not perish, they shall have eternal life.
We believe it, God.
I shall hold to the cross. I shall hold to God alone, for his love has salvaged me. For his love has set me free.
For God.
For God. So love the world and that he gave his only son, and whosoever believes will not perish, they shall have eternal life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I shall wait.
John 3. Give it up for calling me.
You know, when she thought about, you know, the James thing, I kind of tricked her with a little bit.
Well, you said it this morning, and I was paying attention.
That's good. There will be a quiz after this just for Colleen. Oh, yeah. So the rest of you can take a sigh of relief. No quiz for the rest of you. For God so loved the world. I love teaching this. You probably heard me talk this before, and I try to write a new sermon for it just about every time that I get in front of people to talk about it. And so I love teaching this to kids. I love teaching it to adults too. But I love teaching it to kids because it's so simple, but it's so complete. For God so loved the world. Let's pray. Father, as we come before these wonderful people tonight, Dad, we just thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to bring this word. And Father, I pray that you would speak through me tonight and help me to use the words that you would have me to use. And if my outline is off, then Father, help me to go off the outline. And if the outline is exactly what you want me to say, then help me to follow it to the T, Father. Thank you for each person that is here. Thank you for those that would like to be here and can't be tonight. And we just pray that those who are traveling will be safe in this wet weather that's out there. And Father, just be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't know. I've said this several times lately, and I know that when I say it, I look back at Adam, and Adam does it. There's something going on here at Come As You Are Ministries. There's something going on here. And it excites me to see a movement of God. Just think about how many we had here this morning, and then you add in all those that couldn't be here this morning. Rob was right. We may have to add some chairs down the middle or something at some point. And boy, that's a tough problem, isn't it? The building ain't big enough. Now, it is a problem when that happens, but wow, that's kind of a better problem than, boy, attendance is decreasing all over the country. Boy, churches are down and out, and they're not going to make it. And what a good problem. So hold on for this ride, because when God takes charge, you better hold on. Now, let me follow that up with a warning. When God gets on fire, guess what happens?
The devil comes at you.
The devil comes at you just as hard. But you know what? If you were in Bible study this morning, you heard Satan loses. Right? Satan loses. So we hold on. We hold on to what we know. And we follow what we're going to talk about here tonight. We hold on. We go out. We proclaim the word. We'd be smiling because we win. How many people like to win? I love to win. Some of you may not care whether you win or lose. And look at her. She rolled her eyes because when I say I like to win, I like to win. I probably told you before, when I was young and IU would lose a basketball game. That's when back when IU was a big deal in basketball. You know, they've kind of fallen off since then. But if they'd lose a basketball game, I couldn't sleep. I just went in the kitchen and start washing dishes. That was in my younger days. But I hate to lose. I played baseball in high school for the high school version of Bobby Knight. How many know Lou Giovanini? How many knew Lou Giovanini? He passed on. But he was the high school sports version of Bobby Knight. Losing wasn't in his vocabulary. We won a doubleheader at Floyd Central. Both games we won. And he still made us run our hind ends off after, like we had lost. Losing was not an option with him. And you know what? I won't say that losing's not an option, because there is no option. We win when it comes to Jesus Christ. We win. And we're on the winning team. So that should excite us. In North Korea today, there are more Christians than what you would believe. Now, in North Korea, It's still to the point where if you are known to be a Christian, you will more than likely be arrested and put into a labor camp, maybe even put to death because you proclaim Christianity. So they have to do so in secret. But there's a group of Christians there that each time they get together, here's how they do it. They get up early in the morning and they get their fishing gear together. They go get on the fishing boats and they go out in this big river and they worship God from boats on the middle of a river. Think about that for a second. What do we know about stuff like that? We don't know anything about that, do we? And the boats that they were in, somebody got panicked one day and said, oh my gosh, it's the police, because here comes a boat. They were petrified. They thought they were all going to end up in prison. But you know who it was? It was a missionary that had Bibles. Most of them didn't have their own Bible. A few of them did, and the ones that did had been used so many times that they were falling apart. And this missionary shows up with a bunch of Bibles. And they were so excited. And the missionaries handed them out. And they took their old Bibles so that they would have something that they could tell about. Well, the missionaries went back to their motel room, put the old Bibles in a box. And when they came back to their room, the Bibles were gone. Uh-oh. Were they busted? Now get how good our God is. The person that was cleaning the rooms was a Christian and saw those Bibles in that box and took those worn out, fallen apart Bibles and moved them and took them to other Christians that had no Bibles. And the glory of the Lord shone brightly through these old torn up Bibles. Is our God good or what? You think if He can do something like that, that He might be able to set a little church congregation on a corner in East Columbus on fire? If they will do that in North Korea facing death, do you think it might just be a good idea for us to just get a little bit more excited about what we're doing? John 3:16-21 says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Woo! Not just this congregation or just Americans. I got to stop or I'll be getting into another part of my sermon. "He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, and that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. And may God grant His blessings upon the reading of the Word." Who does God love? Everybody? The world? Well, let's look at what the world is. Let's just say the world does not separate men and women. We're all part of the world, men and women. The world does not separate us by the color of our skin. The world, and when I say the world, I'm not using it in the term that we normally use the world. I'm talking about who makes up the world. The color of our skin doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we're straight or gay. We're part of the world that this verse is talking about. It doesn't matter if we're Republican or Democrat. We're at an election Tuesday, and thank God it'll be over Tuesday. Maybe we can see it a little bit less of people saying, "No, you're a liar. No, you're a liar. Now, you take money from Mexico. Well, you take money from China." Are you sick and tired of that? Amen. I knew I'd get an amen on that. That wasn't even hard to get an amen on that. But it's The whole world doesn't talk about Republicans or Democrats. It doesn't talk about conservatives or liberals. It doesn't talk about Americans and non-Americans. The whole world is the whole world, each and every one of us. And we have got to understand that for God so loved who? The world. Everybody in it. Right where they are, right in their sinful nature, right in the ones that have been Christians for 50 or 70 years. He loves us all. How much does God love us? Well, let's see. How much did God love us? What did He do? Gave His only Son. He gave a sacrifice. Now think about that. God could have done anything. He could have just snapped His fingers and said, "That's what I'm going to do for you. Everything's cool. My fingers snap. It is the way it is." But He didn't do that. He sacrificed for us. You think about that. What does sacrifice mean? That means giving something up. That means giving something to like royalty. You make a sacrifice to the king. God loves us so much that He sacrificed His only begotten Son. Not one of His many sons, but His only Son. How much do we love God and others? And what is our sacrifice in this world? We can't even come close to what God sacrificed for us, and that's how much He loves us. Am I making sense here? I mean, it almost is like I can't explain this deep enough to make it. It just is a big, you know, whatever the biggest thing that you can think of, it's bigger. I would say I've been to the World Trade Center and seen it, but when I was there, it was in rubble. But think about how tall the Twin Towers were, or how tall the new building is there. God's sacrifice for us was bigger than that. You think about the tallest mountains, and God's sacrifice is bigger than the tallest mountains. You think about the biggest ocean, and God's sacrifice is bigger than the biggest ocean. So, what do we have to do in this equation? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever what? Believes. We have to believe. Pastor by the name of Dr. Larry Petten said this. A man was looking for a place in New York City to party late one night. He stopped a police officer and said, "I'm looking for a nightclub called Hell's Gate. Do you know how to get there?" That's an interesting question, isn't it? "Do you know how to get to Hell's Gate?" The officer said, "Sir, you just keep going down this street and you will pass Calvary Church on your right. Just keep going past Calvary and you will come to Hell's Gate." Now think about this. You have to pass many things to get to hell. Here's what you do. You would have to pass the love of God. You'd have to pass the resurrection, the Word of God, the church, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But most of all, you would have to pass the cross in order to be in hell. Don't pass Calvary. Don't pass that church and enter into hell's gates, because God loved us so much that He gave that one and only Son. And all He asks of us here is that we believe. Do you believe? That song we just listened to, "I Believe." I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Do you believe? That's all He's asking for right here in this verse. One verse in the Bible. Adam mentioned, as we were starting, Tim Tebow. And it's John 3. Wait, didn't one side said John, the other side said 3:16. Wasn't that how it was? And then people started holding up signs where the cameras could see. And one little act caused an overflow. And what Adam said is exactly right. More people Google searched or whatever when he did that, John 3:16, than anything going on at the time. Tim Tebow has taken a lot of guff for being a Christian. You know, Tim Tebow was the original kneeler. But he didn't kneel because of the flag or because of what the national anthem stood for. He kneeled and prayed to his Lord and Savior. That was the original kneeler. And I ain't got any problem with that. If they want to kneel to Jesus Christ, they can kneel the whole game for all I care. Tim Tebow's made a lot of money in his life, so I'm thinking, you know, does he really care if people hate him because he kneeled for the cross? He probably cares a little bit. I mean, we all get hurt when people don't like us, but just think of what we're still talking about it several years later. And someday in the future, they'll probably be saying, Tim Tebow. They probably won't say football player, baseball player. They'll probably be saying John 3:16. To me, that's what Tim Tebow means. Yeah. Don't pass Calvary. Take the time to enjoy the things that get us to heaven. The love of God. That resurrection. What a story that is. You know, we always talk about Jesus dying on the cross, and that's important. It's an amazing story. But the most important part of that story happens on Sunday, not Friday. That's when Jesus rose again. That's when the resurrection happened. And if anybody could have gone to the cross, do you understand that? Anybody, well, two thieves went to the cross the same time Jesus did. Anybody could have gone to the cross, but only Jesus could have come up on Sunday and arose from the dead. Amen? Amen? Only Jesus Christ. So what do we have to do again? Believe. What is the reward if we do that? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him, the reward is, shall not perish. And what's the biggest reward of all? Everlasting life, eternal life, whatever version of the Bible you say or read. You live with God forever in heaven. That's a reward. How many of you have pets? Does your pet like rewards? Our dogs are so excited to go to bed at night that we don't even have to tell them. Because they know when they get in their crates to go to bed, dad or mom here is going to bring a treat. Every single night, that's their treat. We don't give them treats throughout the day. And so we send them outside to go to the bathroom and it's dark. They come in the back door and they don't go anywhere but straight to their crates. They back in and they're waiting for that reward. And there's been a time or two where I'm not thinking, and I go ahead and lock their crate, and they're like. And then I realize, and I go get, and you know, they forgive right away. You give them that treat, they'll lick all over your face and everything. But, you see, it's reward. I'm sure your pets are the same way. We were at a wedding this last summer. And there was a dog that was at the reception. It was an outdoor reception. And that sounded kind of weird, didn't it? There was a dog at the reception. It was an outdoor reception. And this dog was right beside Amy.
And there was goats.
Well, yeah, there was all kinds of stuff. Ducks and roosters and chickens and everything you can imagine. But this dog wanted Amy to feed it. And it just didn't want the junk, did it? No, it wanted the good stuff. If she was eating a sandwich and a piece of bread fell down, the dog kind of looked at it like, that ain't good enough. I want my reward to be something better. But guess what? Our reward is the best that there can be. Whatever you think is the best thing in life. You know, the Cardinals winning the World Series is pretty good for me. And it's happened 11 times, not in my lifetime. But all the way back in history, 11 times. By the way, how many Cubs fans do we have here?
How many Red Sox fans?
Okay, I won't go into how many World Series the Cubs have won. But winning a World Series for the Cardinals, that's a pretty big thing on my list. That doesn't even, that's not even like in the top 10 when you think about heaven. That's not even in the top 100. That doesn't even make the charts. I don't quite understand that. Really? I love the Cardinals. Ask her.
More than me.
I knew that was coming. I set her up for that one. It's not true, but I set her up for that.
Look out for the lightning. Just stay there.
You realize how good heaven's going to be? Think about no suffering. Think about people that you've known in your life. I think about my daddy. And for months and months and months, they couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. And he lost weight and lost weight and lost weight. We all knew. They just couldn't figure it out. We're not doctors, but we knew. And month after month went by, and smaller he got. And after all that time, they finally diagnosed him with, I'm glad Roberta's not here, pancreatic cancer is what Dad had. And 11 days after we got the diagnosis, Dad went home to be with Jesus. But you know what? All that pain and all that suffering, that frail body that didn't even hardly look like him anymore, that's all gone. That's gone. He's with his Savior, Jesus Christ. And so all this suffering we know about, all this pain that we know about, all these things that we see people we love have, all the things that we go through in our life, that's gone. Woo! That's gone. And guess what? It's not just for military. It's not just TDY. We ain't got any military guys in here tonight, do we? Where's my military guys when I need them? TDY is temporary duty. It's not TDY. It's permanent assignment. You've been permanently assigned to heaven. Woo! Man, that gives me cold chills all over. No TDY here. No temporary. When you get there, they're not sending you back. You're not getting a bad conduct discharge. You're not getting sent to the front lines in Afghanistan. You're in heaven. And there's no coming back. Who would want to? You talk about on a regular basis, you know, I wouldn't want them to come back. Or, you know, I miss them so bad, but I really, you know, they've got it so much better where they are. But there is no coming back. When you've got it all there is to have, why would you want to come back? And there is no do-overs on that. Now, this is a positive message tonight, and we could talk about hell, and there's no do-over there either. And it's permanent assignment. It's not TDY. But tonight's the positive. And God loved us so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believed in Him should not perish but have eternal life. So what is it there? We've got God. Who does God love? He loves us all. How much does He love us? He sacrificed. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. What do we have to do? We have to believe. And what is our reward? Heaven. Amen. This place isn't our home. Isn't that a good thing? Mm-hmm. Think about it. I grew up in East Columbus. And back when I was growing up, way back when, East Columbus wasn't that bad of a... the people that lived in the North District, they kind of put us East people down. But it really wasn't that bad of a place. But now you think, well, I live in East Columbus. Maybe it'd be nicer if I had a bigger house or a nicer house. Before I lived in a neighborhood that the cops weren't out here all the time. They're on the north side too. Don't worry about that. They are. But we kind of want more. If we live in a small house, we want a bigger house. We move to the bigger house and guess what? We have so much junk that comes into that, we need an even bigger house. And here in today's society, we have storage areas that we can go by to put more junk. this isn't our home. And when we get to heaven, we don't have to look for something bigger and better, because there is nothing bigger than, and better than heaven. I love to teach, and for those who have been around me for a while, you will remember this. But when I teach John 3:16 to kids, and I don't know if you saw the thing I put on Facebook about preaching tonight, and it was "For God So Loved the World." This young lady put something, a question on there, and I had this. She was a small girl when I had her in our youth group in Hope, and I would teach John 3:16 like I'm about to teach it with us. And she said, "So I don't even remember what she said," and I said, "Yes, just like I taught you when you was a little girl." And she said, "I'll never ever forget that." I didn't cry on the outside. I'm not much of a crier. But that touched my heart. I don't think she goes to church today. But she remembers that God loved her so much that He gave His only Son. This part some of you have heard. When I was at the Moravian Church in Hope, they had a kids' time every Sunday morning. And during that kids' time, I didn't always do kids' time, but I really loved doing it. So I would sit down, not in the offering plate, but I would sit down and kids would all come up. And they'd gather around and they'd sit on the floor in front of me and beside me. And I would tell them about John 3:16. And I said, "For God so loved," and instead of saying "the world," I want you to put your name in there. So it would be like this: "For God so loved Pastor Ed." And I said, "Okay, now let's do that. Put your name where it is world." And so I said, "All right, let's go. For God so loved," and every kid said, "Pastor Ed." Now, I liked that. I'm glad that God loved me. But that wasn't the point. But I think it was like every single one in unison. "For God so loved, Pastor Ed." Well, they were paying attention. I guess I was a little bit too deep with my theology there. And if you know me, you know I'm not deep in theology. So that's about as good deep as it gets. But let's do that tonight. "For God so loved," and I want you to put your name in there. Because guess what? You're part of this world. And I love when I'm able to put this on a podcast or a video or something, because when people on the other side of the world, when people in Egypt and Mexico and Russia and all the different places that are able to get my podcast, they can hear that God so loved, and you put your own name in there. Let's do it together. "For God so loved..." There, that was good. I didn't hear one Pastor Ed, not even from myself, because I was quiet. So let's do the whole thing through. "For God so loved that He gave His only Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Do you realize that everything that you need to know about the Bible is in that one verse? We went over it. God loved us. How much? So that He gave His only Son. That what do you have to do is believe. And if you believe, what is your reward? Heaven. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Now, we got all kind of other things that we need to know about the Bible. But if you know that one verse, if you're Autumn and you write on Facebook, "I will never forget that." Think about the power of that. You remember the one verse that tells you everything that you need to know about our Father in heaven. And guess what? While you know that, there's a promise with it. Everlasting life. Let's do it one more time. For God so loved Pastor Ed that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Thank you, Father, for this day. And thank you for loving us so much, each one of us by name, that you sent Jesus here as a sacrifice for our sins. Father, help us to know what that love really means and what sacrifice really means. Father, help us to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, our Lord and our Savior. Help us to understand that as well. And Father, help us to understand that this is not our home. That heaven, where Jesus is right now, sitting at your right hand, preparing a place for us, is our home. Our life here is TDY, temporary duty, and it passes quickly. But heaven is forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks. God bless. And share John 3:16 with somebody. If you think that you don't know Scripture, John 3:16 is all they need to know.
Hi friend, this part of the program is designed specifically for you as an individual. Me, Pastor Ed Boston, talking with you one-on-one here as part of our podcast. The purpose of this segment is to give you the understanding and opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ, the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. We want to encourage you to ask for God's will in your life, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is God's will for you to give your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus died a harsh and cruel death on a cross as a sacrifice for our sins. In earthly ways of thinking, that is difficult to understand. But understand that God's Word tells us that He loves us so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Please know that God loves you, and insert your name right there. He knows you. He knows all about you. He knows your name. He knew you before you were even born. He knew you when He sent Jesus to die on the cross over 2,000 years ago. If you want to give your life to the Lord right now, I encourage you to repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and I invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer just now, I want to encourage you to do a few things. I want to encourage you to be active in reading your Bible. I want to encourage you to go to the Lord in prayer. And if you don't understand how to pray, just talk to God like you would talk to your father or your mother or your spouse or whoever you have a conversation with. Just have a conversation with God. I also encourage you to get with somebody in your local area that is a Bible-believing person who would help you with the next steps that need to be taken. And as part of your conversion to a Christian, that would be being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. To become active in a local congregation where you can be a part of a family, a local family, the family of God. The Bible tells us not to forsake assembling together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that can be a major part of what you do as a Christian. If you have questions and don't have anyone to talk with, you can reach me by going to edboston.com, and there is a contact page there. Contact me, and I will do what I can to help you. I will do what I can to help you find a local congregation right there where you live, and I will certainly pray for you. Thank you for being a part of our podcast. We pray that you have taken this step and given your life to the Lord, and we know that you will never have to regret making this decision. God bless, and go out and do the right thing.